holding only one perception in your life will keep you stuck. And arguing for that perception will also keep you stuck. What we argue for, we will always keep. New perspectives will greatly expand your life.
Hey, I'm Janelle Minow, and I'm obsessed with joy, fun, and helping you navigate this messy and magical thing called midlife. I'm a midlife plus woman who broke out of struggle, took a leap from my professional career, grew a successful business, found Mr. Right, and learned to love on purpose. I'm here to teach you the tried and true secrets to releasing what's keeping you stuck and struggling so you can build a joyful life you adore. Here we'll tackle the fun but sometimes hard things: money, business, career, relationships, health, purpose, love, and loss are all topics we'll cover. So pull up a chair and welcome to the Joy, Self-Mastery, and Living a Limitless Life podcast.
Hey, midlife friends, welcome back to the podcast. It is such a beautiful day here. I have walked and worked out and played ball with my dog and took her for a run on the side by side out in the desert and planted some flower seeds, drank my matcha on the patio and journaled. I am having a wonderful day enjoying this weather, and I haven't wanted to come in and work today, but I do love sharing with you all the things that will help you live a happy, healthy life and fulfill your goals and dreams. So here we are. Today, I want to share 6 gifts that we all possess that, when we tap into them, can bring about change and growth and new outcomes. So we are whole beings, meaning that the parts of us aren't separate. We are born with physical parts like a head or arms or intestines, inner and outer parts. And all of these are gifts that let us experience life as a human. These examples are physical gifts, but we're also born with gifts that we can't see. And I call these mind-body gifts, mostly because I haven't come up with another word. So if you have one, please email and let me know. But Bob Proctor called them mental faculties. And I'm sure he means mental, like the mind, which encompasses more than our brain. Okay. The mind is actually all of us. Okay. Our mind, body, soul. So these are 6 gifts. There's probably way more than this. I can think of a few more, but these are just the 6 that I want to share today. And we were born with these gifts not by accident. We were given these gifts by our creator, whatever you believe, whoever you believe that is, whatever you believe that is, just like we were given a heart and ears. So these gifts are tools that we can use to create any life we want. Now, I learned about these gifts when I was studying with Bob Proctor. And again, he called them the 6 mental faculties. I prefer the 6 mind-body gifts. Sadly, we aren't taught about these gifts in school. First of all, that they are gifts, and second of all, how to use them. But we are taught about the 5 physical senses and the ability to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. Now, our senses are given to us so we can communicate and correspond with the outside world. They're like little antennas that bring in information outside of us. Our physical senses are wonderful for what they are intended to do. But quite often we let them get in our way because we give them way too much power. We allow our sensory factors to literally take us off course. We let what people say, what we see on the news, what we've been taught, the stories we tell ourselves, and our beliefs about our current circumstances control our lives. We often argue for these beliefs, even when it doesn't serve us to keep them, because they are so much a part of our identity. But it doesn't have to be that way. We don't have to be controlled to focusing on what is around us, or other people's opinions or outdated beliefs. We are creative beings, and we can change our circumstances and our beliefs and create new things. So, what are these six gifts? They are the imagination, the will, intuition, memory, reason, and perception. And although you're already using these gifts, there is a good chance that you are often using them to create results you don't want. And I want you to be aware of them so that you can use them to create what you do want. Exploring and strengthening these mental gifts is greatly going to improve your chances of creating and enjoying the life you desire. So we're going to dive into these gifts, and I'm going to give you exercise to start strengthening them. So where I'm going to start is imagination. I am always mesmerized by the power of the imagination. Your imagination literally allows you to create something out of nothing. It's what you use to take something that is non-physical, an idea, or a vision, or a desire, and turn it into something physical. Everything that is physical started out as an idea in someone's mind, from the light bulb to the airplane to the cell phone. It was all discovered first in somebody's mind. The things you've created in your life have come from your imagination, from visions in your mind. Your career, your family, your path, the amount of money you make are all products of your imagination, either intentionally or unintentionally. When you create an image of something that you want in your mind, you are raising your frequency. In fact, imagination in and of itself is creating, is a frequency of thought. But when you're imagining it, you're raising the frequency of your thought to that level. You have a feeling about it that triggers the actions toward it. However, many times we use this gift incorrectly by negative outcomes. Brené Brown calls this dress rehearsing tragedy. I love this expression. Now, tragedy could be a strong word, but we definitely play out in our imagination worst case scenarios as a way to protect ourselves from disappointment. But most of what we think we need protection from is just imagined. So we might imagine a confrontation with someone, or we might imagine being rejected or judged. So we stop the pursuit and we end up with things we don't want. We end up tolerating things we don't want. We create resentment. And the key is to learn to use your imagination consistently and purposefully to create the experiences that you do want most in life. When you're being conscious and purposeful, you are getting glimpses into the actions that you could take, the emotions you feel, the collaborations you'd like, that you'd like to have. You are creating from a new frequency that keeps opening possibilities. If you're paying attention, you will catch yourself imagining things that aren't what you want. And you can change what you are imagining to the outcomes that you do desire. Your imagination is literally the start of creation. The creation of outcomes you want and the ones that you don't. So be aware of what you are putting in your imagination. So here's an exercise for using the gift of imagination in a positive way. Start by dreaming about the good things, the things you desire, deliberately. Despite what our parents or teachers said or the beliefs that you have about daydreaming now, it has a purpose. It allows us to see in our imagination ideas, the how-to, the next steps. It opens the mind to new possibility, new direction. So take a break from your daily tasks every day to relax and let your mind wander. I like to do this around lunchtime. Sometimes I'll do it in the morning, but I almost always do this around lunchtime. I just sit and I think about what I want my life to be, where I want it to go, what improvements I want to make, and then I just revel in it. I notice the emotions that I feel. I notice the scenes around me, who is with me. and what I'm grateful for. If criticism or judgment comes in, just tell yourself it's okay and keep going. We're not here to rationalize or evaluate what is in our imagination. We're just here to imagine. So you can set a timer if you need to. I like to think maybe 10 minutes. And I like to think of imagining as a joy practice because I always come out of it in a higher state than I would go in. So do it daily and soon it's going to become a habit. And one day those daydreams are probably going to become a reality in your life in some way, just like all the other physical creations that you have in your life now. But you're doing it with intention. You're intentionally guiding those visions and images. All right. The second gift I want to talk about is the gift of will. Now, will doesn't mean willpower, which I am not a fan of. Willpower involves struggle and it isn't sustainable. The will is a gift. As a gift, it's different. It allows you with a calm confidence to hold an idea on the screen of your mind. Might be that what you're imagining, despite all the outside distractions. Will gives you the ability to concentrate, to focus your attention on one thing. It allows you to stay in your imagination, focused on your dream, or to stay on task without force, without hustle. We all have trouble staying focused sometimes. Our thoughts hop from one thing to another and we lose sight of what we're trying to complete. However, when you use the will as it wasn't designed to be used, your thoughts become much more powerful and your sustained concentration allows you to get a lot done in a short time. It also allows you to stay focused on what you are imagining. I did a whole podcast on will versus willpower. You can check it out. But an exercise for discovering how to use your will is to set a timer for 30 seconds. Take a couple deep breaths and look at the palm of your hand and hold your focus on the palm until the timer goes off. Then reset the timer again and look at something across the room and focus on that until the timer goes off. Repeat with something farther away, like across the street, and then as far away as you can see. And then come back and do it again with your hand. Now, if 30 seconds is too long, shorten the time and then gradually increase it. I do this practice. I did it before I sat down to do the podcast today, but I do this when I'm diving into something I want to focus on for long periods of time. Okay. Typically longer than this podcast is going to take me, but I felt scattered this morning. So I'm doing, went ahead and did this practice. So focus uses lots of energy, and this helps us to be able to focus or practice using our will to focus. Right? Intuition. I believe that intuition is God's way of talking to you. It's like this small voice inside your body that speaks your truth. It isn't impacted by emotion or outside things. It's an inner knowing. And it also gives you the ability to pick up on other people's thoughts and energies. Intuition is the ability to understand something instinctively without any need for conscious reasoning or explanation, without the need for proof. The use of intuition is sometimes referred to as responding to a gut feeling or trusting your gut. There is new thought developing out there that we are all actually supposed to be making decisions from our bodies versus our brains. Now, some of us are really good at this, but most of us have had more practice deciding things mentally. I know that's true for me, and I am practicing more and more using my intuition. I know that when I do use my body to make decisions, I have much better outcomes because the brain is always focused on my what ifs, on keeping us safe and comfortable and using as little energy as possible. But our bodies actually have access to the feelings that our brains shut out, to cues. So as you learn to turn down the volume of the noise around you and turn up the volume of your intuition, your life is going to become fuller. You are going to slow down a little bit. You're going to tap in. You're going to be curious, and you're going to feel more connected to others and to yourself and to your inner voice. And you can get answers to questions in a curious way. You can start questions like, I wonder, or what if, and just play. See what your intuition says. An exercise for getting in touch with your intuition and noticing the impact. So this exercise is going to increase your ability to discern your own voice and energy in the world around you, and to know what yours is and isn't. So for the next 7 days, and hopefully the rest of your life, take 30 minutes to be just with yourself. This is actually part of state care. Like, people talk about self-care, and I like to refer to it as state care. A mentor of mine used that term, and I just love it. So this means 30 minutes with no music, no podcast, no audiobook, no reading, no taking classes or studying or watching the news or TV or videos or movies, no social media, and no doing anything that you think you have to do. Now, if you're freaking out, that just means that you need this even more. So here's what you can do. You can journal. You can take a walk. You can drive or shower in silence. You can plant flowers. Anything that doesn't take a lot of thought or focus. Now, you don't have to do this 30 minutes all at once. Of course you can, but you can break it into like maybe 15-minute chunks. And you should essentially be alone with no energetic influences. And as you do this exercise, notice the sounds around you. What do you see, feel, or smell? How does that breeze feel on your skin? It isn't an opportunity to worry or problem solve or ruminate. It's a time to just be. And as time goes on, I want you to notice how much more comfortable you feel being alone with yourself. Listen for intuitive messages. They are subtle and can fade from your conscious mind very quickly. So if that happens, just you can get out a piece of paper or quickly send yourself, just do a quick voice message to yourself or text, because they may or may not be something that you want to act on in the future. And then that is going to free up your mind, and your ideas will be stored in a safe place later. So I actually use this a lot with clients, and I have some questions that go with them, but this is a great place to start tuning into your intuition. We have to close out all of the other distractions. Gift number 4, memory. So Bob always said that there's no such thing as a bad memory. There are only weak and strong memories. Now, every night when my husband has the TV on, there are commercials for pills that you can take for memory. And to be honest, some days I feel like I need a bottle. But the truth is that memory is like a muscle. Okay, we have to exercise muscles, and we have to put things in our body that helps the muscle stay strong. So if we feel like we have poor memory, then we need to start exercising it. It's 100% possible for us to take advantage of our brain's plasticity and to improve our memory or our capacity to memorize things and store information and remember it when we need to. I think about the movie Alice in Wonderland. The Red Queen said to Alice, "Tell me what you did tomorrow." And Alice said, "Well, that is impossible. Nobody can tell you what they did tomorrow because tomorrow hasn't happened yet." And the Queen says to Alice, "Well, it's a poor sort of memory that only works backwards." Alice asked, "What sort of things do you remember best?" And the Queen answered, "Oh, things that happened the week after next." Wouldn't it be so fun to use our memories this way? And we can. So we have a choice in how we want to remember. Re means to do it again, right? So we remember. It means to go back to the past. But we can choose the perspectives we want to take on about the circumstances that happen in the past and past and therefore impact our memory. So why would we want to do this? Because when we bring the past into now or into the future, we stay defined by who we used to be, and we don't take control of who we want to be. And the things we remember intentionally or unintentionally impact who we are being now and what we are believing is possible now. It impacts our courage, our confidence, our outcomes. Being past focused is a podcast for a different day, but just know that you can choose who you want to remember or the things that you want to remember and how you want to remember them. And that is going to impact your future. I love this because it helps us to change the story and create a new future. So deciding what you want to remember in the future sets the intention for what you will remember and changes how you think, feel, and the actions that you take today. So here's a few ideas for developing your memory now and your memory of the past and future. Okay. There's books written on this too. So you guys can look for some of those. I don't have them at my fingertips, but I know for sure there's a few on this on developing your memory. So the first tip or the first thing exercise to do is to start using your senses, involving your senses when you learn something new. It will be easier to remember it. So for example, if you want to remember somebody's name, it may help to use your eyes to look at them and repeat their name. Use your hand to shake their hand so that touch reinforces it. And right there, you're engaging several of the senses. I'm sure you've all heard the trick of using word association. When I meet someone new, I associate their name with something or someone more familiar or someone I know, or I mean a character in a favorite book or movie. What is going to help your memory as well is creating optimal health. This is vital to memory. Eat the rainbow, having 4 to 5 vegetables a day of varied colors throughout the week. Staying away from lots of added sugars and processed foods and oils, okay? Sleep is vital to a memory, okay? As well as stress reduction. And also focusing and giving your attention to the task or the conversation at hand is going to improve memory. We always used to get so much pride from being multitaskers, but really something is left behind when we multitask. And I know for sure this is true because when I pay attention, I remember much more later. So what about past and future memories? Well, to impact the memory of the past, again, a simple exercise is to decide how you want to remember something. Choose on purpose. We all tell stories about the past, and a lot of them are told in negative ways, when really we could just reframe those and tell it differently. When we do that, it changes something within us, okay? It changes our state. And that state change is going to help us create in a different way in the present. So rewrite something from the past, rewrite that circumstance or that story. Okay. It should leave you feeling open versus closed. You can also write yourself a letter from a younger version of you telling the story of the memory in a new way. Super powerful. Now, if you want to remember in the future, like the queen talked about, you can write a letter from your future self talking about the memories that she has 10 years down the line of today. Let her tell you about all the great things and let this be fun, right? Number five is reason, the gift of reason. Another famous Bob quote is, mental activity does not constitute thinking. Think about that for a second. Mental activity does not constitute thinking. Reason is what gives us the ability to really think, to be consciously aware of the thoughts and ideas that come to our mind, and to choose to reject or accept them into our reality. It's our ability to take two ideas and create a new one, or to understand that if I leave meat on the counter and leave the house, the dog is going to probably get up there and grab it. What was I thinking? I wasn't. Reason is undoubtedly one of the most precious gifts God has given us. The ability to choose the images or visions or ideas that we hold in our mind that ultimately create our results is reason in action. Other mental activities that don't include reason are going to inevitably lead to the outcomes that we don't want. So my dog story is a harmless example of that, but there are others that are so much more disappointing or even tragic, right? So there's lots of people in the world that just weren't using their mind to reason. If I'm on the phone when I drive, I increase the chances that there's going to be a negative outcome. Okay, that's an example. So reason encompasses information from our body or intuition and our brain. Okay, it doesn't need to just come from our brain. The gift of reason is what we use to analyze, compare, evaluate ideas. Reason is the ability to think and feel and choose intentionally what information we accept into our minds, and then play with it and use it to come up with brand new ideas or solutions. So an exercise for developing your gift of reason is to practice being unreasonable. Most people think being reasonable means only believing based on the five senses or deciding based on one's reality. It literally makes me cringe when someone talks about reality, being realistic. Let's be realistic here. It just makes my skin crawl because it is so relative. Reality and what the senses interpret are relative. Reasoning in this way is definitely going to have you sacrificing your dreams and goals out of fear. Fear of disappointing someone, of being judged, rejected, disappointed, or disrupting the status quo. So neuroscience has shown that we use only about 5% of our brain. So be willing to be unreasonable and to go for what might feel impossible. Be willing to be unrealistic. All right, I want you to write down the ways that you are holding back on going for your goals or even acknowledging what you really want in life, because you're afraid it might be unacceptable, unattainable, or impossible. Then relax and use reason, intuition, and your imagination to come up with a list of new ideas and strategies to get you what you want. You can ask yourself, if this were possible, then what? All right, the last gift I want to talk about is the gift of perception. We don't see with our eyes, we see through our eyes. I don't remember where I learned that quote, but I heard it somewhere. We don't see with our eyes, we see through them. And for that reason, we often see things that aren't there. Okay, when we're only using the sense of vision, we miss out. So your perception is your point of view, and it controls what you become aware of in your environment and how you choose to see it. I see all of my husband's stuff in the yard as junk. Sometimes I'll kid with him and I'll say, I feel like our backyard looks like Sanford and Sons, if you remember that TV show, just a junkyard. But his perception is that it's really useful stuff, that someday he's going to use it for something. It's useful. Now, our perceptions are influenced by the same things as our beliefs. This includes things we've learned from our parents, our society, religion, education, and everything in between. I have a friend who, in my perception, is a neat freak, but she doesn't see that. My dog's barking. Hopefully you can't hear that. Our perception lets us bring different perspectives to things, and that is a wonderful thing. In the subconscious mind, perception determines what we become aware of. We're flooded with billions of bits of information every second in our conscious mind, but we can only process a tiny little bit of them. So, two main criteria to determine what gets through into our conscious is what agrees with our beliefs and what our mind believes is important for survival. So here's an exercise for expanding your gift of perception. Go and sit on one side of a room and write down everything you see. Be somewhat detailed and then go to the other side and do the same thing. Then compare the two lists. In one room, you're going to find two different perceptions. You can do this in your yard or pretty much anywhere. Now take that exercise and apply it to one of the rooms in your life. Pick a different vantage point from which to view your primary relationship, your career, your health, or your financial situation. No matter what you're looking at, do your best to look at it objectively, as a stranger might. So this means putting aside your opinions and looking with new, fresh eyes, seeing differently, from a different perspective. This is why coaching is so valuable, because it's really difficult to see in our own box without having all of the beliefs and perceptions in that box that we carry with us in there too. So holding only one perception in your life is going to keep you stuck. Arguing for that perception is going to keep you stuck. What we argue for, we are always going to have. A different perspective is going to expand your life. It's going to help you grow. Keep shifting your position until you find one that feels really good. And then stay there. Don't let the old beliefs come back in. We all have these amazing minds. They're all part of us, just like our toes and our fingers. Napoleon Hill said, "An educated man is not necessarily one who has an abundance of general or specialized knowledge. An educated man is one who has so developed the faculties of his mind that he may acquire anything he wants or its equivalent without violating the result of others." And Einstein says, "In our society, we honor the servant, the rational mind, and we have forgotten the gift of our intuitive mind." One of the many problems with thinking realistically is that we believe to be realistic is, I'm saying this all wrong. Let me start again. One of the many problems with thinking realistically is that we believe it to be realistic. But what we believe to be realistic is really created by an unrealistic belief system. So your power in creating the life you want lies in using these mind-body gifts to help you change your paradigms. You can't get what you want using the same way of thinking and being. All right, my friends, have a great week. Hey, friends, want to create more joy in your life? Download the Midlife Compass. It's a tool I use in my life and with my clients to create more joy, peace, and guide the outcomes you want. You can go over to janelleminto.com/amplify-joy-and-fulfillment.
I'm over here celebrating you because you just finished another episode of the Joy, Self-Mastery, and Living a Limitless Life podcast. Thanks for listening. If you got value from this podcast, don't forget to subscribe, share, rate, and review so we can help even more people just like you. Now, go out and live your limitless life.